This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, friends. Shalom Aleichem. We're now learning Ksubas Daf Pei. What could be better to prepare for the Yom Tov of Purim that begins with the letter Pei than by learning Ksubas Daf Pei? How do you like that? Okay, so the Mishnah said like this. Hamoitzi, it's the Mishnah Ayin Tesem Abayz. Six lines from the bottom. Hamoitzi hoitzois al nechse ishtai. One who spends money on his wife's possessions. We're going to see, you know, the nechse milug, it's an arrangement. What does that mean, it's an arrangement? He's allowed to benefit from it. And along with that comes responsibility. He has to take responsibility for it. He has to invest in it. Doesn't matter, he invests more and he benefits less. He benefits more and he invests less. Doesn't matter. It's a deal. He gets to use it, he has to take care of it. And the only way he could collect for his expenses is if he doesn't enter the deal to begin with. Namely, he doesn't get any benefit. So if he spends $1 million and he only gets a dollar benefit, it's not tit for tat, okay? But provided he entered the relationship. If he is not getting any benefit, so then whatever money that he spent on it, he could collect. Like any foreigner who went into your house and started painting it, technically you'll have to pay him for his expenses. Hamoitzi hoitzois al nechse ishtai, someone who spends money on his wife's estate. Hoitzi harbi v'achal kima, he spent a lot and he benefited little. Kima v'achal harbi, he spent a little and he benefited a lot. Masha hoitzi hoitzi masha achal achal. What he spent, what he ate, he ate. Hoitzi v'loy achal, but if he spent and he didn't benefit, yishava kama hoitzi v'yita. He'll swear how much he spent, and he will collect he'll collect. Fine. So says the Gemara, v'kama kima. What's considered a little bit? When we say, you know, that as long as he benefited a little bit, so he entered the arrangement, so now he gets compensated for his expenses, what's considered a little bit? Rav Asi said, afilu groy gris achas, even one dried fig. But provided he's able to eat it like a mensch, provided that he could eat it in a respectable way, as long as he ate it in an honorable way, and he's not like rushed to eat it. Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba said, Amri Bei Rav. They said in the house of Rav, Afilu Shigra De Tamri, even if he ate a pressed date. Rashi says, Tamarim Niduchin Yachad. Dates pressed together, the way they pressed figs. Then Rashi says, "Vani shamati shigra de tamri." A cluster of dates, basically, a bunch of dates. Which sounds like it's more, and Rashi doesn't like it because why does he say afilu? It's not even, it's more, because the dried figs are less than the dates. So what do you mean even? It's a higher requirement. Fine. Boy Rabbi Bivi, chuvtsa de tamri mai. What if it's dates that are basically pressed out of their juice in order to make beer? So they're mamish oiska klapta dates. You know, in Yiddish there's an expression, an oiska klapta hoishana. The guy looks like he's so worn out. He looks like an oiska klapta hoishana. You know, there are different guys on Hoshana Rabbah. You have one guy, he said he hits it on the floor. So he hits on the floor. It looks nicer after he's done with it than before he started. Then one guy, if he's going to hit the Hoshana, he's going to let out all of his aggression, tension, and anxiety on that Hoshana. Then this guy, he has an oiska klapta Hoshana. So the shaila is, what about an oiska klapta date? Teiku. Elio Anavi will decide. Sorry to say that this Gemara, you know, if you had a choice, what do you think this Gemara means? The question will stand, or Elio Anavi will answer the Shaila. Where on the list do you think this will be? On Eliyahu's list? I guess you see here the chashivos of halacha, you know? You see that the diktuke halacha are dvarim ha'im dimbaru ma'ishalaylam. Okay, weiter. Loy achla derech kavein mai. Okay, so we said before that if you didn't eat in a respectable manner, then eating a little bit would not make him lose out all of his expenditures. So, at what point do we say he ate enough for him to be considered benefited, even though he ate it in not a respectable way? Amar Ula pligi ba trei amarav b'marav. Ula said two amaram argued about this in Eretz Yisrael. Chad amar b'kisser. One said it's only considered benefiting if he benefited the worth of an iser. V'chad amar b'dinar. One said he has to benefit a dinar's worth, which is more. Okay. Amri Dayane de Pumbadisa. The Dayanim in Pumbadisa said, who are the Dayanim in Pumbadisa? Rashi says, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel. You know what they said? Avad Rabbi Huda Uvda Bechavileis Mayrais. Rabbi Huda Paskin the Shaila by bundles of Zmai rice, vines of a grape. What does that mean? So you had a guy, he took the bundles, not of the grapes themselves, but of the vines, and he fed it to a behema. So the shaila is, he invested money, but did he get hanah from the field? So Rabbi Huda paskind about somebody who used chavilei zmai rice, that to feed his animals. Rashi says something interesting. Chavilei zmoiros are ma'achol lepilen. They're food for elephants. So if you have any elephants in your house, in Florida, in San Diego, in Five Towns, and you wanted to know, why doesn't my elephant eat my dinner? Because elephants eat grapevines, okay? Chavilei zmoiros. That's interesting. So Rabbi Huda considered this a valid use of the field, so that if the husband had expenditures, but his benefit was by feeding these grapevines to a behema, and then Rashi says he was girish ishtai, so Rabbi Huda says, Masha achal achal, what he ate, and he can't collect for anything he spent on the field. Says Gemara, Rabbi Huda l'tameh, Rabbi Huda is l'shitaseh, Damer Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda said, "Achla arla." If, let's say, during the years of chazaka, we know that if you're on someone's field and you say, "Well, I know you used to own it, but I bought it from you," so the guy says, "Where's your shtar?" So that's a taina on you. Where's the shtar? Unless you can prove you're on the field 3 years uncontested. So the shaila is, but what if you're eating of the field for 3 years? It's not a real eating. For example, let's say you were eating it arla years. That's not considered a hana, because the owner says, well, you know why I didn't protest? I didn't protest because I couldn't eat it anyway. So I don't care that you ate it. So Rabbi Huda held that if somebody ate it for the years of arla, or if somebody ate it for the years of shmita, Shemitah anyway, Rashi says, is Hefker. So, what do you want from me? I should have protested. Why should I protest? I don't mind that you're on my field. But Rabbi Huda holds that if somebody ate during Arla the Zmairos, which Zmairos are not usher during Arla, Zmairos are not Hefker during Shemitah, Zmairos are not Klei HaKerem. Normally, if you plant a Chita and a Geffen together, it's Klayim. So normally, if somebody is eating that, it's not a Chazakah. But But what if the grape is klayim and the vine is not klayim? Why would that be? How could you have such a case? Rashi says, "Oisha zara klayim v'azmaros lo nesro." It seems like the zmairos don't become klayim. Maybe they're not there long enough, but the grapes do grow be'isr. So Rabbi Huda holds in all these cases where if you partake of the vine, which doesn't become usr, it would be a chazakah. So just like Rabbi Huda holds that you could create a chazakah by using the zmairos, Rabbi Huda also holds the use of zmairos to feed an animal is considered a valid use, so that if you spend money, but your benefit by using the zmairos, that's considered a benefit, and now you're disqualified from being compensated for what you spent on the field. Fine. Amar of Yaakov, Amar of Chizra. Yaakov said the name of Chizra. Hamoitzi hoitzoyz al nechzei ishtei ketana. Somebody who spent money on the property of his wife, who's a ketana. Kemoitzi al nechzei achar dami. It's like you spent it on a stranger. So, therefore what? Therefore, even if Rashi says, so if she's a ketana, and who's marrying her off? The mother or the brother married her off to you. If she does mion and she dissolves the marriage, then you get back what you put into the field, even if you were nene from it. Why? My taima. Avdu barabana takanta. The chachamim wanted to make things better for her. Because otherwise, the husband would cause her a loss. Let's see Rashi. Avdu le rabana hach takanta. The rabbi's made a takanta of her that we treat him like a sharecropper. What are we afraid of? We're afraid he's going to ruin the land. Why? He'll deplete it. He's not going to improve it. You know what he says? Why should I invest any money in this field? Tomorrow she's going to take one look at me. She's going to say, I don't like your nose. And she's going to do mion, and I'm going to lose all the money. So the guy's going to say, you know what? I might as well just deplete her field without investing any money, because I'm never going to get it back when she dissolves the marriage. But now that we treat him like a sharecropper, he's not going to lose. Because he says like this, Mimanushach, maybe she won't do mion. And even if she does, at least I'll get minimal return on my investment. I'll be treated like a sharecropper and I'll get it back. So this was a takana that the Chachamim did for this woman, because otherwise the husband will just deplete her property. Fine. Now it's story time. Here we are. We're before Purim and everybody is excited about the story of the Megillah. No, this is a story you want to hear. You ready? This is an unbelievable story. Hahi Itza, there was a woman. Isn't that interesting? But it gets better. Danafula arba mea zuzi bechazai. 400 zuz fell to her in bechazai. That's her Yerusha. So she said to the guy, she says, husband, go get me my money. Azul gavra, the man went. He said, how am I going to get there? She said, take an Uber. The thing is, the Uber costs 600 zuz to go pick up the 400 zuz of the Yerusha. Not a very wise move. Azogar, the guy went. Apik Shisma'a, he spent 600 zuz. I see Arba Ma'a to pick up 400 zuz. The guy did not have a business head. He should have used Uber Deliver. You know Uber Deliver? The car goes without you. It's much cheaper. But the guy decided to get into the car and pay a much higher fare, but it ended up being more than what the Yerusha was. Fine. Bahadi de Kaasi, when he's coming back, Itzrich Lechad Zuzah. He forgot he has to give the guy a tip. No, he had another Zuz of expenses. So where's he going to get it from? He decided to take it from the 400 zuz. Ouch. He's nene from the 400 zuz. Veshaku minah, he took it from him. Also, coming to Rav Ami, he came up from Rav Ami. Amar lei, whatever you spent to spend masha hoitzi hoitzi, whatever you, so you lost the 600, and but you got a dollar out of it. Masha achalocha, what you ate, you ate. So even though you spent 600, so now, but you were nene, and the Mishnah says that when you're nene, whatever you spent, as long as you, right? The logic is like this. If you're going to make an arrangement with her, namely, you're going to be like her husband, so you're going to invest money, and you're going to be nene, so that's what happened. He invested 600 bucks, 600 zuz, and he was nene, $1. Now he was dumb for taking that dollar, because now that he took the dollar, he lost 600. He would have been better to figure out how not to spend that extra dollar. But that's what Rav Ami said, because Rav Ami thought that the way we view this is that this is really an expense of a dollar. In other words, when do we say that if the husband is nene, he loses all his expenses? If he's nene from the payrois. If he's nene from the payrois, so that means he's entering the arrangement to care for her nechse milug by him benefiting from the fruit, so he's entering the arrangement. But that's only if he's benefiting from the fruit. But in this case, the money is not the fruit. The money is the principal. Now he's not allowed to take principal. It doesn't belong to him. So then the pshat is, he's borrowing it from her. So fine. He's not nene from it. He's borrowing. He has to pay it back. But we don't view it, he put in 600 and he took out a dollar. No. He put in 600. And he borrowed a dollar from her. That dollar he's going to have to pay her back, but he never entered into the arrangement where he's investing money in exchange for what he's benefiting from it. The dollar he took is not a benefit, it's a loan. Says Gemara, Amar le Rabban Rav Ami. The rabbi says, Rav Ami, hani min heichad gachal peir, that's if he eats the fruits. Ha karna kachal, here he's eating the principal. V'haitzahi, the money he borrowed is an expense, is another expense. So then what is this case? This is a case of spending and not benefiting. So Yishava kama hoitzi v'yito. So now he has to swear how much he spent and he'll collect. Okay, now we get to the fun part. Okay, Rabbi Isai? This is the best part. Now the question is, says the Gemara, Yishava kama hoitzi v'yito. He's going to swear how much he spent and he's going to collect. Amar Ravasi. Provided that there is improvement against the expense. What does this mean? When do you swear and collect? If there is shevach, improvement against the expense. So, what exactly does this mean? Is it a let's see Rashi. Is it a kula or is it a chumra? Is he saying that, okay, the improvement has to be against the expense? But what if the improvement is more than the expense? So maybe he means, if the expense is less than the improvement, you could collect the expense even without swearing. You know when you swear, if they're equal. But if the expense, if the improvement is more, you could collect the expense without swearing. Or, if the expense is more than the improvement, doesn't matter. All you're going to get is the improvement, and for that you need a shvua. Look at Rashi. L'may hilchasa, ka'amar. V'hu shaha yeshevach k'neg yitziah. La'akula alei, is it to be lenient? D'ika shevach tvei. That if there's more improvement, lo'y boy shvua, you don't need a shvua to collect the expense. Oy la'achmuri alei, l'maymar. Maybe it's a chumra. D'i yitzira yisera, if the expense is more than the improvement, then all you take is the improvement. And even with the shvua, all you're going to get is the improvement. That's the shaila. What did Rav Asi mean? L'may hilchasa. What did he mean? Amar Abaye, I'll tell you what he meant. Shem ha yeshevach yosar alitza. If the improvement is more than the expense, then we're mekel and noitel sa'itza b'lo shvua. You get the expense without swearing. It's a kula. Says Gemar Malay Ravim Kain Asir Arume, then you could pull a fast one. If it's a kula saying that if the improvement is greater than the expense, you get the expense without a kula, without a shua, then he could cheat. He could say what could this guy say? Meaning if he gets the expense if he gets the expense without a shvu, as long as it's less than the improvement, he'll spend a dollar and he'll mark up his expenses to be slightly less than the improvement and he'll be able to collect it without a shvu. I'm not sure what kind of trick this is, because if he only spent a dollar, how much is the improvement going to be anyway? I don't quite get, like, what's this big trick he could pull? That if you could collect without a shvua, then you'll lie about what you spent. What's that going to do for him? How much is it, you know, he can only collect less than the improvement. How much is it going to improve if he hardly spent money? But the Gemara says this would be a scam. Allah Amar Rava, Rava said, Rav Asi was being machmer. If the expenses were more than the improvement, all you get is ein lo ela haitzashir shavach. You only get expenses commensurate with the improvement, and you have to swear uvishua. Now we have a very interesting question. Raise your hand if you're a sharecropper. Raise your hand if you're an aspiring sharecropper. Okay, just checking. I know it's a little bit of a personal question. But what's the halacha? So we just learned that if the Baal invests money in his wife's nechse milug, if he didn't get any hana, he could get his expenses back. If he did get hana, he's done. What if the Baal did not improve? What if he appointed a sharecropper to improve? And then the Baal was nene, and he divorced her. Could the sharecropper collect what they benefited the field? Or do we say, well, the husband... Could the sharecropper get the improvements of the field? Or do we say, well, the husband was nana? So if the husband is nana, he doesn't get what he improves the field. So maybe the sharecropper who's acting on behalf of the husband doesn't get what the sharecropper improved the field. Baal shoyd a recent tachtav, a husband that appointed a sharecropper in his place. Mahu, what's the halacha? Do we say adaita de baal nachis? Do we say the sharecropper came down with the mindset of the husband? He came down to be in lieu of the husband, so therefore he should have the same halacha as a husband. Istalik le baal, istalik lehu. Just like we push the husband away because he was nene staglu, we push the sharecropper away. Oy dilmar, do we say adaita da arnachas? The sharecropper came down to improve the land. The ara ki kaima la risa kaima, and the land stands in the domain of the sharecropper. What does that mean? Says Rashi, la risi kaima im loy haride mabal hoisi marido secharisen. If the husband wouldn't have appointed the sharecropper, the wife would have had to get a sharecropper from elsewhere. So therefore, the sharecropper is entitled to the improvement of the land. Because had the husband not brought him down, the wife would have had to. So the sharecropper should benefit from his work. So that's the shaila. Says the Gemara, isn't the answer very obvious? Isn't the answer obvious here? Says Gemara, Maskefla, Rava Bar Chanan, Bar Rav Chanan, Rava Bar Chanan asked, Maishno Me'ar Yer L'Sech Stei Chavera, how is this any different than somebody who goes into his friend's field without permission, and he plants it without rishus. So what's the halacha? Shaman lai, we make an evaluation. What do? We evaluate how much he spent. We evaluate the added value of the field. And basically, if the improvement is more than the expenses, he only gets the expenses. Or, if the expenses is more than the improvement, basically, he'll only get the value of the expenses commensurate with the improvement. Basically, his hand is on the bottom. However, at the very least, he is compensated. So just like if somebody goes down into someone else's rishus and benefits, improves their property, they get compensated. So the sharecropper should get compensated. Why should they be any less than somebody who goes down? Why should it be that it's worse when you go down with the permission of the woman than if you go down without her permission? If you go down without her permission, you're entitled to compensation. So certainly if you go down with permission, says Gemara, that's not similar at all. Hasam leke inishtatarach. Over there, if I don't go down to your field and I don't plant it, no one will do it. So therefore, you benefited from me doing it. Hachi kabal detarach. But here, if the sharecropper wouldn't do it, the husband would do it. So actually, the wife will say, hey, sharecropper, I don't want you to do it. Because you, if you're nene a little bit, then I'm going to have to pay you in full and just deduct what you're nene. So you didn't do me a favor by fixing my field. I'd rather my husband fix the field this way. As long as he's nene a little bit, I don't have to pay him for his expenses. So the Gemara says an amazing conclusion. My havela, so what's the final ruling? It depends if this husband is handy or not. If he's handy, the wife could say, sharecropper, I don't want you to do it, I'd rather the husband do it. This way, if he's nana, I don't have to pay him for any of his work. But if he's not handy anyway, then the sharecropper could say, hey lady, if we wouldn't do it, the husband wouldn't do it, someone else would do it who you would have to pay, so you need to pay us. Says Gemara, my haviyala, amr of huna bredi rabbi shua chazina, and we see bal arasu. Could the husband himself, is he capable of being of doing what a sharecropper does? So, if he could be a sharecropper, then just like we would push away the husband and say you're not entitled to be compensated for expenses, we'll do that to the aris. But if the husband is not able to do sharecropping, then this land is in the domain of the sharecropper, and he should be compensated, because otherwise the woman would have to employ someone else. Okay, Rabbi Say? Have a splendid evening. Thank you very much. Kol tov, everyone. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good night.
Good night, thanks. Shkoyach. Kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.